Hey guys, I'm Bailey, and welcome back to Bailey's TV Rants, where I rant about all my favorite TV shows.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm going to be going over Legend of Tomorrow, season six, episode nine. Titled "This Is Gus." Quick recap of last episode, though. Sarah was back. They just got Sarah back from her being on an alien planet and now being a alien clone hybrid with healing abilities. Whoop whoop. Yeah. So she's She especially can't die now, guys. You thought Sarah could never die before? Well, literally, now she can never die. I'm joking. It's just healing abilities. But you never know. She could be like a Deadpool situation. That'd be fun. But they went to the Wild West. And they stopped a sort of big underground worm alien deal that pooped gold and got angry when people fought. So that was a great episode. A lot of the legends worked out their sort of problems between each other, so that was an interesting way to do it. I enjoyed the episode. Bayrod and Zari also came up with the idea to let Nate into the totem to Zari 1.0. So he's doing that now. And let's get into this episode. So opening scene of the episode is Bayrod searching for the totem in his room. And so he finds it under the table. And he's trying to think about, like, how did it get there? Well, him and Gideon play Mortal Kombat together, and I think that is the best thing ever. Like, oh, amazing. But it's also Bayrod's birthday. Whoop whoop. He's a quarter of a century, so he's 25. That, for some reason, that took me a while to figure out. And so everybody is on the bridge discussing sort of the next alien pod and where to go, but Bayrod thinks that the legends are planning like a surprise birthday sort of deal for him, and of course, but the legends are just being their usual selves, and Astra is making deals to get out of things, so, because that's what she does, making deals with the devil, you know? But Gideon tracks an alien pod to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, which is so absolutely funny and ironic because that's where Legends of Tomorrow and a bunch of other CW shows film. So they're pretty much just going to where they're filming the show, which is easy enough. And then Ava tries to do a Sarah Lance send-off. Doesn't quite go over, but she's so close. It's so funny. Sarah's like trying to be like, you were so close to getting Vancouver and just wasn't that. It was so funny. Then we cut to Mick. And Lita calls Mick. God, how I miss Lita. Woo. And she's in a bit of a rush and she needs to get there. So I wonder what's up with that. Oh, excuse my hiccups. I'm so sorry. But Bayrod and Zari get Nate out of the totem, where he was getting it on with Zari 1.0. Super fun. And then Mick is walking through the hallways, bumps into everybody in portals, Lita to the ship, and she's pregnant. What? Oh my god. Okay. So, but this is the thing. This is Lita from 2023, and Mick, and according to this Lita in time, Mick has not contacted her in over a year. Great. Just just what we needed. But Aunt Ava and Mick are gonna help her out while the rest of the legends deal with the pod in Vancouver. So, Mick is obviously upset that she got pregnant, but Lita obviously points out that that's kind of same deal with him and her mom. So I don't know why he's so upset, because he kind of did the same thing. But now in Vancouver, legends are walking up to where they're finding the pod, and Bayrod is obviously smoking a joint, as Bayrod does. But the creator of Bayrod's favorite show passes him onto this television set, and Bayrod immediately thinks that the legends are there to go see a taping for Bayrod's birthday. So Zari totally plays it off like it was the plan all along. And so everybody goes in except for Sarah and Spooner, who stay out to find the pop. So Astra, Nate, Zari, and Bayrod go in, sit down, and they're watching Buds die. Bayrod kind of explains why it's his favorite show. He watched it in high school, and the show had a sort of a cult following, which I think is really funny, because that's how Legends and other shows that I watch that I know other people watch as well are also like. It's a pretty niche following with really dedicated fans, and so it's funny that sort of Bayrod's relationship to the show is like a lot of the Legends of Tomorrow fans. But then we go back to Sarah and Spooner, and they see the pod falling from in Earth's atmosphere, falling down, and that's fun. They're catching it before it lands to sort of prevent stuff from happening. Back to the show, though, Bayrod's sitting in the audience, and it's so funny because they're kind of going through this show. It sort of has a Friends vibe with Joey and Chandler. That's kind of how I saw the show. Obviously, this is in the future from Bayrod High School, but that's how it kind of is. And it was so fun to see Bayrod quoting the show, because as most people with the absolute favorite show who watch it over and over again, they can quote the show. And I think that is just so accurate and so fun. But back to Sarah and Spooner. Spooner, who had upgraded her gun to stop those aliens, shoots the pod to stop it immediately. But that does not work, and it just shoots the pod off course. And the pod crashes onto the set of the show Bud's Die while it's filming. And so the two actors, one of them being the creator of the show, are kind of thrown off, because that obviously wasn't planned. Bayrod knows it's not planned as well, because he knows all the episodes.
Oh.
So in the pod is actually a little like pink baby alien. Super cute. And so the two actors, you know, are trying to like play it off. And then that's when Bayrod was like, this was not planned. And Astra, Zari, and Nate are like, yeah, no, this is not planned. And he's like, you know what? That's fine. We're going to have a sitcom mission. And I love how Bayrod is so into it, just because it's revolved around his favorite show. The director of the show thinks that the alien is an animatronic, and is great, because the audience had a great reaction to it. He thinks he could really like help out the show. But Imran, who is the creator and Bayrod's favorite actor, thinks that the alien puppet needs to go, but his brother, the director, keeps it. So they aren't on the same page, which is not gonna go well. But the legend all go down and try and get the baby alien, but security kicks them out. Back to the Wave Rider. Ava is trying to distract Mick from the situation, and really try and like calm him down, and that it's not a big deal that she's pregnant. Like, it's not the end of their lives, you know. But Lita updates Mick on her life and how she met her boyfriend Nico in a class. I think it was like a women's studies class or something. But doing that, and then Mick makes an analogy about him and, oh, what was it? It was kind of good, actually, but it was something about him, like, opening up. Oh, it was the pickle jar that he was opening. You know, it's hard at first, but you can get them to open up. That was funny. And so he asked Lita to talk about Nico, her boyfriend. So back at the TV set, Nate and Zari are together. They're walking, trying to figure things out. And they're both talking about Zari 1.0 and the totem and how it was seeing Nate and stuff. But Nate just said she was always talking about Behrad and all these things, wanting to get updated because she actually remembered it was Behrad's birthday. Of course she did. Like, and then Astra and Behrad are teamed up together, and they find Imran in the writer's room. So in the writer's room, they're all trying to pitch ideas for how to deal with this baby alien. They're all like throwing things off. Imran is not having it. But Behrad poses as a production assistant, a PA, and he's in there handing out drinks and coffee. And Astra is a person from labor relations. But Behrad goes up to Imran and is like, let's get you something to smoke, you know, so you can get this creative juices flowing. And I thought that was funny because Imran's like, this guy knows. And he's like, oh, shit, wait, labor relations is here. Maybe we shouldn't. But Imran does not know where the baby alien is. So they leave. So Astra gets Behrad out of there so they can actually go find it. Sarah and Spooner actually find the alien first at the craft services table with all the food. Astra comes in, tries to pick it up, but the baby alien starts to scream, and it's like piercing, deafening scream. And so Astra sets it down, and the director comes in and gets it, and it doesn't care. It screams it likes the director. So everybody, all the legends go back to the Wave Rider and are trying to make a new plan. Think about stuff. And Behrad walks in with some new hair. He usually has, you know, his long, nice flowing hair, but this Behrad, the hair is kind of slicked back. He used Nate's pomade, and all the legends are kind of obsessed with it. It's really funny. But Gary tells everybody what the type of alien is. It's a long name. I don't remember, but Behrad nicknames it Gus Gus. And everybody thought that was good. But that alien is like super attached to the director, because when it's born, it gets like attached to whoever it kind of like imprints on. And the first person the alien saw was the director. So it's real close with the director. So they got to get it off the director pretty much. But while they're all standing there talking about this, Nate notices that the Behrad has a new mug in his hand, and on it says Wharton School of Business. And Behrad says, yeah, that's the school that my mom and dad think I'm at. And he like double takes what he just said. Zari double takes what he just says and realizes that because of Budstai being changed and the course of the show being changed, because this alien is now, and it's not what Behrad remembers, it has affected Behrad's life. So the timeline has changed. And then Gideon updates Legends that the studios have submitted a new script for the next episode, and they are opening up for casting for a role as the nosy landlord. So Zari goes in to audition for it because she's the only one with acting training. But when she goes in, doesn't get it, Nate comes in to like tell Zari something, and the casting director looks at Nate and gives him the job. And of course, Nate gets the job. But there's this little montage of him doing like screen testing and stuff, and he says, "Is this for the CW?" Which, once again, is so funny because The Legends is on the CW. But Zari says something that I thought was so funny. It was, "Finally, a win for straight white men." And that, obviously sarcasm, because that's most of the history of TV and film and stuff is straight white men. And, of course, that's what they end up casting, because that's the easiest thing to do. They're not trying for, like, diversity in any way whatsoever. So, whatever. So, Zari's kind of mad about that. And then Astra talks with Behrad again to be like, obviously this is affecting Behrad's, like, life. Like, this is not, Behrad is changing because of the show is changing. And so Astra pushes Behrad to talk to the show's creator, Imran, to, like, not, like, change the show. So Behrad goes to Imran and talks about how the show means so much, in that he saw himself represented as a person. And I thought that was really important, just because that's how a lot of people see themselves in Legends of Tomorrow, with such a cast that has diversity. And I know me personally, Sarah Lance, the character, was the first person I saw on TV that kissed a girl. Like, that was the first time, and so that was big for me, and I know a lot of people it was big for them too. And this show and seeing this diversity, and there's people who have this with other shows, that's really important. And I love how the writers have kind of put that in there, and it's really like they're recognizing the fans, and they know the importance of Legends of Tomorrow to a lot of the fans. So I just thought that was super special. Big thank you to the writers for that one.
Hi, buddy!
So after their conversation, Imran is convinced by Behrad to not change the show. So Imran goes to his brother and goes to talk to his brother that, "I'm not going to change my show. Blah, blah, blah. I made the show to represent us, me as a person. This is kind of my story." And his brother doesn't care. His brother pretty much just wants to make a popular show, whatever that means he needs to do. So because his brother doesn't agree, Imran quits. And that is not what was supposed to happen. In the back of the Wave Rider, Ava is struggling to wrap gifts for Behrad, because if the creases aren't clean and nice and, you know, have that crisp edge, it's not good enough, because it's all about the presentation. And let me tell you, I can relate to Ava. Oh, God. I hate, like, bad wrapping on gifts. Like, I need to make sure my edges and my creases and my folds are all nice when I wrap stuff. So, understandable. Then Lita comes in, and it seems like she's pretty much calmed things down with her dad. They're on good terms now. And Mick is understanding and not totally upset anymore. And Sarah walks by, kind of overhearing. She's curious about this. And so Sarah asks Lita, like, what kind of questions was he asking? Like, and Lita's like, pretty much everything. But really getting into it, getting to know each other. He even asks, like about his cross-country stuff and what are his running routes and everything, and, like, to the specific times and whatnot. And Sarah realizes, she's like, as a former assassin myself, he is going to try to kill your boyfriend. Because why else would he want to know the specifics of his running routes and times and days and whatnot? So yeah, so they now think that Mick is going to go kill Nico. Fun. Classic Mick though, I'm not gonna lie. Then Astra and Zari go over. They're trying to get in to talk to the director or the brother, right? And they're at the front desk and they're not quite getting in. And then Behrad walks behind them and he's totally dressed up, suit and tie, very businessman. And he's just a different. Astra's kind of into it. I'm not surprised. And so they're pretty much posing as a union workers, but Behrad doesn't care about that stuff. He's just being himself, right? He's being this businessman, Behrad. And so Behrad just walks right into the director's office. And so Zari and Asher are trying to keep their cover and being union workers, like puppeteer, like union workers or whatever, to make sure that the alien puppet is up to code and working by the right people. And Behrad doesn't care, and he's just talking about the business potential of Gus and like all the stuff they can make, all the action figures and merchandise and whatnot. And the director's totally into it because that's what he wants. So Zari just like pulls Behrad out of there, and he still is not getting it. He doesn't care. He's just all business, business, business. So he's, because Imran has quit, he has now totally changed and it is not the same Behrad. And then Sarah is out with Lita, and they go and they find Mick, and Mick and Nico are sitting out on this like bench planter thing, and they're like, okay, this is the moment he's gonna kill. And they walk up, and he didn't though. He didn't kill him. Nico and Mick are actually just having a really like nice deep conversation. It's really funny. And so they actually talked about Mick and Kayla. Crazy, right? Lita's like, who's Kayla? So he's kind of getting a bit emotional about it. And so Lita like takes Mick back, saying, like, he's not acting normal, so I'm just gonna take him home. And so they go back to the Wave Rider. Back to the three still at the studio. Behrad walks out. He actually has a chauffeur now. And his own like fancy car, right? So he goes to hand the keys to the chauffeur, or the chauffeur hands the keys to him, or something. Was it a valet? I don't know. I don't know. But Astra uses her magic to steal the keys before Behrad can get in the car. So Nate, Zari, and Astra are there, and they're trying to stop him. And so Zari like grabs his wrist or whatever, or no, Nate grabs his wrist because Nate's like, come on, and he goes to. And Behrad's like, that's a crime. I can have you arrested. Such like, ew, that's gross. I hate that Behrad has turned into this. But Zari notices that the totem is gone. And the totem is gone because he never, this Behrad, businessman Behrad, never joined the Legends, meaning he never stole the totem. And so then Zari's totem on her wrist starts to disappear as well. This is not good, guys. So Zari takes Behrad back to the Wave Rider and takes him to his room. It's like, see, these are other things. This isn't you. Blah, 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 blah. And things in Behrad's room start disappearing because he technically has never lived there. Right? Ooh, this is getting deep. And then back to Mick, and he is with Lita and Gary, and so he admits to having a sex with Kayla to them, and they are not necessarily the happiest bunch about it. Lita's obviously kind of like TMI because that's her dad, right? And Gary's like, oh my gosh, what the heck? Like, that was my boss, right? And then Zari goes back to talk to the director and obviously doesn't convince him whatsoever. But Astra goes to Imran and tries to get him to go like take back his show. She's trying to do this pep talk that she is not the best at pep talks, so it doesn't go quite well. And then Nate, obviously, once again, he got casted So he has to go back and actually do his part, right? So he goes in to be the nosy landlord. And he walks in and he totally goes off script because all he's really there to do is get Gus. And so he goes off script, and the other actor who's on the show is like, yo, bro, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be the nosy neighbor. And he's like, no, I'm the space police or something like that. It's funny. And then Imran and Astra, Imran tries to leave, takes his go-kart. Take not the go-kart. Well, you wish it was a go-kart. Mario Kart up in this bitch. No, the golf cart. They take a golf. He takes a golf cart and tries to leave. Astra takes another golf cart and tries to leave. And so they just start like racing golf carts around the set. And Imran actually crashes through the set and crashes into Gus. And so Gus goes flying in the air. Doesn't know what's gonna happen. It's like slow-mo scene, of course. Nate catches Gus, and before Gus like totally just starts screaming out and like deafens everybody, Nate gets a weed gummy from the show. Or is it? Okay, it's supposed to be a weed gummy. I think it's the prop one, so they're not actually weed gummies. And gives it to Gus so Gus won't scream. And so Gus is just like sucking on this like gummy bear, and it's so funny. And so they get Gus out of there and out of the set and the show. And Imran and his brother make up happy times. And now Bayrod is back to normal and walks in to his room for a surprise silent birthday party because Gus is trying to sleep in this like carrier that Nate has, and it's so funny. So it's a silent birthday. There is this great little montage going on of the party, Bayrod opening gifts, and there's a voiceover by Zari about Bayrod, and it's just super cute. But the voiceover is really just Zari 2 talking to Zari 1.0 in the Tota. Oh, breaks my heart. And Zari 2 explains that if one of them is in the totem, then Bayrod should be fine. So Zari 1.0 is actually able to go out and leave the totem. Oh, my heart, Zari 1.0, I miss her. And then back at the party, Ash and Bayrod are getting a bit flirty, and I'm not opposed to it. And then Zari 1.0 is getting caught back up with the gang, seeing all the things that are happening. And oh my God, she's like, Ava Lance is engaged. She's like, yeah, they're engaged. Woo-woo. Oh, it makes me cry. And then they're talking about Mick having sex with an alien. And then Gary like totally spits out that Mick is pregnant. And everybody's like, what? And Zari's like, I was not expecting that. And then the episode ends. Oh, great episode overall. It was overall lighthearted, but obviously some important themes, especially with having a favorite show and how it shapes you and stuff as a person, which is relatable to a lot of the Legends audience, including myself. And I apply that to other shows as well. Lots of things going on. Funny references. My one thing that I was trying to think was at the end when Zari 1.0 is getting caught up with everybody and Sarah's new healing abilities. Like I said, kind of like a Deadpool situation. Like Sarah's like a master assassin, right? So imagine like now if she could just be like Deadpool, but for the Legends, like that'd be kind of cool. I want to know the extent of this healing ability though. Just because I'm curious. But now it looks like just what's happening? Yeah. Just looking through my notes, seeing if there's anything else. I think that's it. Still wondering about Constantine and sort of his dealings with wanting to find the Fountain of Imperium. Started being mentioned last episode. Constantine was talking with Gary. Nothing this episode, so that'll most likely be next episode. Six, what amount? 6, 6, 10 will be the next one. So, overall, great episode. Interested to see where the rest goes. This is 09. There's 15 episodes, so we have 6 episodes left. Crazy. Oh my gosh. And there's still some, alien pods out there and whatnot. So that's it. Great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll catch you guys next time.
And that's the end of the episode, guys. Remember, follow me on Instagram at Bailey's underscore vlogs underscore, Twitter at Bailey's TV Rants, and on TikTok at Naughty Hot. Thanks all for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.